At this Gemara, the top of Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, where the Gemara talks about the bracha or brachos on that you make on tefillin. The Birkas HaMitzvah, remember we had discussed earlier, three categories of brachas the Rambam has at the beginning of Hilchas Brachas, Birkas HaNenin, Birkas HaMitzvahs, and Birkas Shavach VaHodah, and other assorted tefillah brachos. Obviously, we're in the world of Birkas HaMitzvahs, so it would appear one or two brachas that you make on tefillin. On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan talks about the lehaniach on the shalyad and the al mitzvahs on the sharosh. On the other hand, Rav Chista says you go back and make another bracha on the sharosh if you spoke to the shalyad and sharosh. So Rav Chista is making it sound like bracha on the sharosh is only in extreme circumstances. And Rabbi Yechon is making it seem like you always make a bracha on the sharosh. So Abai and Rava gave an answer that's a little bit ambiguous. They said, well, if you didn't talk, you only make one bracha. If you did talk, you make two brachas. So that's the two ways to interpret that answer of Abai and Rava, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi says, nothing new is being added here. We're pointing out that Rav Chista told out one case and Rav Yechon told out the other case. Rav Chista said, you do make a bracha if you were sach. But you don't make a bracha if you weren't sach. And Rav Yechon told out a case of sach. That's exactly what he's talking about. Rav Yechon told out a case where you spoke. If you spoke, you make two brachas. That's what you have to add a bracha on the shalrosh. That's what Rav Chista said. Rav Yechon saying, you know what bracha it is? You add the al mitzvahs tefillin. Which fits our Gemara relatively smoothly. It's more difficult when you get to brachas daf samach, because there the content of Rabbi Yochanan al laniach al mitzvahs over there, it sounds like it's part of a long list of standard birkas hashachar. It doesn't seem like the bracha of al mitzvahs on the sharosh is something remarkable for unusual cases where you were zach. It sounds like that's what always happens. Right. On the other hand, you have a Tosefta we saw at the end of Shir yesterday that makes it sound like you only make a Lahaniach. Period. You put it on tefillin, you make a Lahaniach. That Tosefta sounds like Rashi. The Gemara and Brachas Daf Samach does not sound like Rashi. The Gemara and Brachas Daf Samach instead sounds like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam appears briefly here in Tosus, in Menachos, and at greater length in Tosis in Brachos, Daf Samach. Here in Menachos, he just states his Shita, doesn't explain why, he just says what. Brachos, Daf Samach, Tosis says the what and the why of Rabbeinu Tam. Here, Tosis in Menachos, Lamed Vav, gives the what, and then we'll take a question. Tosis, Duras, hello. It's Rabbeinu Tam. Said, no, you always make a bracha on the sharosh. Rabbeinu Tam said, Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about the exceptional case where you were sach. No, and Rabbi Yochanan said you make a al mitzvah on the sharosh, that's every single day, normal situation. A Jew is doing the right thing, who is not shmuzim to the sharosh, still you say l'haniach, put on the shalyad, and then immediately say the al mitzvahs and put on the sharosh. Then, of course, the question is, well, but that was exactly the Gemara's point. That was the whole Gemara's whole kasha. But Rav Chista didn't say that. Rav Chista said, you only chozer mevarech if you were sach. So Rav Tam says, yeah. When Abai and Rav, that's Abai Rav were answering. Tosis says, when Abai Rav said, make one bracha if you didn't speak, make two brachas if you did speak, unlike Rashi, who understood that one and two is in total, Rav Tam says one and two means on the shalrosh. If you didn't speak, then you just say one bracha on the sharosh, namely al mitzvahs tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam, going back to Tosas here. Rabbeinu Tam pirish lo sach mevarach achas lishel rosh. Mevarach achas. Now, Abai and Rava's answers on the sharosh alone, you say al mitzvahs tefillin. Shazuhi bircha. So that is the normal bracha on the sharosh. Sach, but if you spoke, then mevarach shtayim lishel rosh. The sharosh alone, you're going to say two. Why? Because you have to go back and repeat lahaniach, as well as now saying the al mitzvahs. Right? And he says the shimusha rabba also says we saw the Shemusha Rabba, that's the sefer from the Gaonim about how to make tefillin. We saw it's quoted by Tosas on the previous Zamud, Laman Hamid Beis, and the sugya of the Seder HaParshas, quoted here once again. As an aside, there, Shemusha Rabba supported whether it was Shitas Rashi. Here, Shemusha Rabba supports what here is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, unrelated machlokas. But again, a machlokas how to interpret the language of the Gemara. Abai and Rav's answer, the bottom line, you didn't talk and make one bracha, you did talk and make two. Rashi says you make one bracha in total, one lahaniach, and that covers both tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. It means if you didn't talk, you make one bracha on the shalrosh. If you did talk, you have to make two brachas on the shalrosh alone. You don't have time to point out, that fits well with the language of the beginning of our Gemara, chozer mevarech. Rabbeinu Tam, you're going back and repeating the same bracha again. That's what Rav Chista was talking about. Okay, so that's the machlokas Rashi about Tam. A machlokas how to read the language of the Gemara. A machlokas halacha lemaisa, how many brachas do you say in Shalrosh? According to Rashi, it's either zero or one on the Shalrosh. According to Tam, it's either one or two on the Shalrosh, depending on whether or not you spoke. And the third level of the machlokas, in addition to how to translate the language of the Gemara and halacha lemaisa, what do? Is the third level of the machlokas is conceptually how many brachos does the shalrosh require? According to Rashi, the shalrosh needs a bracha like any other mitzvah that requires a bracha. So normally it can be covered by the lahaniach tefillin that you said in shalyad covers both the shalyad and the shalrosh. We discussed the end of Shia yesterday. The Rashba points out that's the standard system of Birkas HaMitzvahs. If you can do multiples of the same mitzvah, you're going to put up many mezuzos. You're going to tovel many kalim. You only make one bracha. You cover all of them. Or even if you're going to do several different similar mitzvahs, you can do mafresh truma and you can mafresh challah. Make one bracha. You cover all of them. So that's what Rashi says. The shalrosh needs a bracha like any other mitzvah needs a bracha. So normally it's covered by the lahaniach tefillin. You make one bracha. It covers both shalyad and shalrosh. You mafsi. You got to make a new bracha. It's a little odd. That's we had mentioned yesterday that the Chazal Masakeh new nusach just for the Shalrosh that rarely comes up. Okay, we were able to miyashu that some of the Rambam. But again, Shalrosh requires one brach, normally covered according to Rashi by the Lahaniach. And if not, then you have to make a mafzik, you have to make a new brach. According to Tam, again, in addition to the machlokas level of how you read the language of the Gemara and halacha lemaisa, what you do, Tam disagrees fundamentally, conceptually with Rashi and understands that what's going on. You might not realize it, but what's really going on every single day is that the tefillin and shalrosh require two different brachas. They require a lahaniach, and they also require al mitzvahs. Normally, you said the lahaniach on the shayad that covers shayad and the shalrosh, plus the other time it says shalrosh needs a new second bracha al mitzvahs tefillin. So if you were, it's usually not apparent because you said the lahaniach earlier, but it becomes apparent when either you were sach, or you're only putting on a shalrosh. Because in those circumstances, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you make two brachas on the shalrosh alone. You say lahaniach, and immediately you say al mitzvahs tefillin, and then you put on the shalrosh. So again, three levels to the, or three dimensions, three layers to the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It begins just as how you read the language of the Gemara. Ach, mevarach achas, mevarach shtayim. Does that mean in total, or how many brachas make on the tefillin alone? Second level is halacha lemaisa, what you do. And the third level, and this is where we're going to look at right now, after we take a question, is conceptually, so getting under the hood, in terms of the why, what's really going on here, are you just making, does tefillin shalrosh require just one bracha, like any other mitzvah that requires a bracha, or does tefillin shalrosh actually require two brachas? It needs a lahaniach, but usually that same lahaniach covers the shalyad as well, plus it needs a shall a separate second bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin. We're going to jump into that in a moment, but a question from Yonatan. And Yoni. That's an interesting question. So you're asking, there is a concept of a bracha arukah. Bracha arukah versus a bracha kitsara, a long bracha versus a short bracha. A bracha kitsara is where you sparcha tashem kemelech olam, then you have some text and you end. That's a, called a short bracha. A bracha arukah, longer bracha, is not just that it's longer, but that has a chasima at the end. Like you said, the first bracha of benching, or the first bracha of shmoneh esrei. Right? You baruch ata Hashem, huh? And then the end, baruch ata Hashem magen avram, baruch ata Hashem hazanas hakol. You do have those sometimes. So you're interesting. You say, well, maybe the two brachas back to back of the tefillin are like bracha arukah. Yeah, that's interesting. The two problems. Number one is it's hard to say that. Number one, because when you have a bracha arukah, the chasima at the end doesn't mention Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. It's just Baruch Ata Hashem. Whereas here, the Amitzas Tefillin, right, we're not just ending Baruch Ata Hashem, Amitzas Tefillin, and then Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Kedisham Tosef Yitzivanu Amitzas Tefillin. It doesn't really sound like a chasima. Plus, we often don't say them as one. We typically say the Amitzas Tefillin apart from the Haniach Tefillin. So it's hard to say that it's a Baruch Ha'olam. That's interesting. Interesting thing to think about. Yeah, and it's good to be aware of that phenomenon of the bracha arukah, like Asher Yatzar, like many brachas. Yeah, Yoni, you got a question? Yoni? Right, you are correct. Good point, you are correct. As we said before, Tosas in Menachas basically just lays out the what. Here's our Ma'amar Tam Shita. Then I say explain why. And you're right. In Tosas and Bracha, Daf Samach explains a little more that the Sharosh has more. You see, even physically, the Sharosh has more pieces to it. It has the extra shins and four separate batim. And that somehow explains why it needs an added bracha. right. So and Rabbi Anton is the one who says that the Sharosh needs the added bracha. It still begs the question, like, what does that mean? And to make it sharper, here let's dive in. Now we're up into Adkan Chazara. Now we're ready to move forward. And let's take a look here. In the Bach, in this edition is page Samachay. He actually quotes Bach is commenting on the tour, right? The Beis Yosef from the Bach, the two major Mefarshim on the tour, on the side of the page of the tour. So the Beis Yosef, he's Yosef Karo, ultimate author of Shulchan Aruch as well. He's focused mostly on sort of giving the sources. And the Bach is more, is often focuses more on Pilpul, Akasha, Teretz, back and forth. Again, Rabbi Yosef asks questions also. The Bach also gives sources. But the Bach's primary focus is often on Pilpul. Here he quotes a Talmud Chacham whom we're not used to hearing in a halachic context. Very fascinating. Kfar Shamati Shaharava Gadol Marina Rav Leib Zal Ben Betzalel Mi Prague. You know him? Rav Leib of Prague, the son of Rav Betzalel. We know him by a slightly, by Rosh Tevis. Marino Harav Leib Mi Prague, otherwise known as the Maharal Mi Prague. Maharal Prague, one of the great Rabbanim. He's most famous to us for his voluminous writings in Hashkafa, in Machshava. Maharals are usually quoted in a Hashkafic context. He was a gadol in Hashkafa, and he was a gadol in Halacha. So here he was a Rav of Prague. He was succeeded many, 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 many years later by the Nodeb Yehuda. But that was a very, very significant Rabbanis. Maharal Prague here is quoted as having a halachic discussion, which he no doubt had many, many tens of thousands over his lifetime. And quotes Maharal Prague, Moreno of Lei ben Betzalel Prague, Tama, V'yomar, Heyach Matzinu Davar Kazeh, Levarich Shtei Brachos Me'inyan Echad on Mitzvah Achas. Where do you find such a thing? Two brachos on one mitzvah? When do you have that? It seems like such an oddity. It seems like such an oddity. It seems like such an oddity. How do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of that? That's odd. Again, so Rashi was—it's a little bit strange that normally it's covered by lahaniach, but if you were sach, then instead you make it al mitzvah, right? Or if you're going to punish al rosh alone, all of a sudden you make it al mitzvah. That's a requires a little bit of explanation. But this requires a lot of explanation. When do we find two brachas on one mitzvah, two birkas hamitzvah on one mitzvah? Where do you have that? Again, Birkas HaTorah, we were discussing the other day. Birkas HaTorah, you do have at least two brachas there, but the Asher Bachar Banu is not a Birkas HaMitzvah. Right? What do you do with this, though? Here, they're both Birkas HaMitzvah, no? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating answer. Let's take a look at his answer, and then maybe we'll give it an added twist as well. And the Aruch HaShulchan, of course, answers the question with a question. He says, I have another kasher for you. Take a look at this Darkei Moshe, right next to the Bach, on the page. In most editions, Darkei Moshe appears in the bottom of on the page of the Torah. This edition, it's in the side instead. Again, and the Darkei Moshe, Beis Yosef, as we were discussing, that's Rav Yosef Karo, ultimately the author of Shulchan Aruch. He first wrote the Beis Yosef, which is sources for the Torah. There's a parallel work, Darkei Moshe, by Rabbeinu Moshe Isserles, Reish Mem Aleph. We know him as his Rosh HaTevis, Rama. So, and the Rama is the, on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, is the Ashkenazi counterpart to the Shulchan Aruch. Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat, and the Rama lived in Krakow. They were both the two of the greatest poskim of the 1500s. They appear together side by side on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Usually Beis Yosef is giving you the Sephardic position, and the Rama will comment when the Ashkenazi position is different. And they both already also appear on the page of the Torah, doing similar things, giving the sources for the Torah before they wrote their independent halachic svarim, Shulchan Aruch and Rama. They first gave source, worked on the sources for the Torah, Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe says, how do we paskin here? Machlokas Rashi and Tam. So the Sephardic position, Shulchan Aruch paskins, is that we should follow Rashi and Rambam, make only a lahaniach, no second bracha on the Shal Rosh, unless you're mafsik. The Darkei Moshe says, minhagenu, our minhag, who's us being Ashkenazim, levarach shtei brachos, we say two brachos, as many Rishonim did. Okay. Many of the Gaonim said that, the Rush said it, the Ran said it, levarach shtei brachos, ve'ein l'shanos, you should not, if you're Ashkenazi, you should heed to that minhag, don't switch, you should say both brachos. But then he says, well, but you should also say Baruch Shem Kvam Achuso afterwards. What's that about? Why you say, if you hold, you should say two brachas. If you hold that like random time, that's pshat in the Gemara. So why are you saying Baruch Shem? You didn't do anything wrong. You usually say Baruch Shem Kvam Achuso. If a Jew says a bracha and realizes that he or she said it Livatala, and so then say Baruch Shem Kvam Achuso Levad. Right? It's usually, the concept is, again, I said Shem Hashem, I said a bracha, I thought it was relevant, I thought it was necessary, I thought it was about eating apples, I made a bar pia 8, and then I realized, Gevalt, I'm actually not eating an apple, I was zoned out, I didn't realize what I was doing, I already made a bar pia 8 earlier on a nectarine, I'm eating an apple, it was an unnecessary bracha, and so I catch myself, so I say, Baruch Shem Kvam Achuso Levad. Blessed be the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his glory forever and ever. So at least I'm getting some proper Shevach of Hashem out of that Shem Hashem I already mentioned. I'm leveraging that Shem Hashem and that Bracha V'Atala in a positive way. But where's the Bracha V'Atala? Well, according to Rashi, you shouldn't be saying a second Bracha, Bracha V'Atala. If you really think it's a Bracha V'Atala, then don't say the Bracha at all. Right, we don't usually tell you, go say a Bracha if you're not sure, and then say Baruch Shem. If it's a Safik Bracha, it's Lahakal. Just don't say the Bracha. He says, well, Darkei Moshe says, well, you should still say Baruch Shem. Ain't the Nikrim, maybe the Bracha Levatala. It's not really concerned with Bracha Levatala. Me'acha Shenira, Shehalacha Levaruch Shem Brachas. Basically, we hold, like Rehan Tam, basically, we hold you should say both Brachas. Just to cover your bases, a term that you have, a turn of phrase that we've heard often over the last few months, out of an abundance of caution. Right? Out of abundance, l'rav chadim l'sa, to give yourself extra space, so to speak. Basically, we hold, like, if we really mesupik, if we really weren't sure, then we would not say the second bracha, safik brachas l'hakel. But basically, we hold, like, in the Tam, the Rama says, basically, you should say two brachas, but why not make Rashi happy and say a Baruch Shem? Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived in the late 1800s, he wasn't so happy about this. He actually lines up both questions. Here we go. He says, number one, he says, in Sif Yud here, the Aruch HaShulchan is arranged with the same simanim as the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, so also Simon Chafei. He's bothering Sif Yud. Ain't a muvan. How come according to the time making two brachas in Shal Rosh? Eich efshel varach shtei brachas al mitzvah. He says, Karnas Orb is the Hamaralmi Prague via Bach. The Bach Rei called the Maral in Prague. But he's not so happy about it. And he raises this question also of Amiras Baruch Shein Kwa Machuso. He says, Eino mitam safik bracha. It's not, he doesn't think like the Rama that we say Baruch Shem because of safik bracha. Because they make up your mind. Is it a safik or is it not a safik? If it's a safik, don't say the bracha. If it's not a safik, then why are you saying Baruch Shem? If you're committed to hold like man tam, then hold like man tam. So he says something very fascinating. He says, let's work backwards. Let's first deal with the question of Baruch Shem, then we'll go work our way backwards to the first question of why you're making two brachas on this mitzvah. He says, very fascinating. He says, this Baruch Shem is different than your typical Baruch Shem. Normally, a Baruch Shem is spontaneous. It's not planned. In other words, you weren't supposed to make this added Baruch Priyat. Now you realize, oops, I said an added bracha necessarily. Say a Baruch Shem. Right? But here it's planned. Right? So why is it planned? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, when else do we have a planned Baruch Shem Kvam Mechusel Vod? What other point in davening do we plan to say Baruch Shem? Yeah? Shema, right? After Shema. So what's that all about? That's not Bracha Vatala. Right, Mati? So what's that about? So he says, fascinating. He says, that's the other Baruch, the other type of Baruch Shem is not to fix a Bracha Vatala, not to mitigate, to limit the damage of a Bracha Vatala. He says, the other Baruch Shem is a Gemara in Pesachim. Here, let's take a look. Bihyos, she'ikar ha-kesher hu bepasuk, Shema Yisrael. The kesher of the tefillin, and metaphorically speaking, the main point tefillin is built around Shema Yisrael. So we want to, after putting on the tefillin, we, so to speak, follow up our kashiras ha-tefillin, our hanachas tefillin, which is at its core affixing Shema Yisrael to our bodies. We follow up by saying, Baruch Shem, Kemoshe Yaakov Avinu Ana came to Eish Shahashvatim Amu Shema Yisrael, Kedi Isa Bipsachim. The Gemara Pesachim tells a story. The first recorded Shema Yisrael in history, or maybe the second recorded Shema Yisrael in history, the first figure with whom we associate the language Shema Yisrael is Yaakov Avinu. Chazal taught Yaakov Avinu saying Shema in some sense when he meets Yosef, and then again on his deathbed. Yosef, Yaakov Avinu is about to pass away. You take a look in Parshas Vayechi. He gathers his children around him to tell them about Acharis Hayamim. He says, let me tell you about Yimos HaMashiach. He never seems, though, to get up to that. And he says, let me tell you about Acharis Hayamim. Then he gives them brachas instead. So the Gemara Pesachim wants to know, well, what happened? He cliffhanger. He said, let me tell you when the Mashiach is coming. Then he gets into other things. A bracha for this one, a bracha for that one, Musar for Reuven, for Shimon, for Levi. What's going on? What happened to Acharis Hayamim? So the Gemara says that Nistalkev Nevuah Emenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to give the Nevuah of when Mashiach is coming, when the Ketz is. And then, it's suddenly, as his sons are gathering around him, as the audience is showing up, he loses that Nevuah. It slips away. So Yaakov assumes It must be someone here isn't worthy of hearing that nevuah. Wow, what's going on? One of my sons hasn't lived up to what he's supposed to be. Maybe one of my sons isn't even a mamon. How many mitzvahs do they have that they were mechuyev to keep? It says, one of you must not be committed to Ribbono Shel'olam. And they reply to him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael. That was not only the name of the Jewish people, but the name of Yaakov Avinu, the person. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Hashem Echad, we all believe in the Ribbono Shel'olam. To which he responds, Ah, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Kavah Malchuso L'Olam Vad. Right, he's relieved, and he thinks that Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is, we know, is something that's been on his mind, as the Gemara points out, throughout his lifetime, whether mitaso shalema, whether he would pass on the masor to all of his children or not. He was the first person in history to do that. We don't have time now to talk about that in greater length. The Sefer HaKuzri is something very beautiful on that point. Yaakov Avinu was a pivot figure. He was a transitional figure that who passed on the divine spark to all of his children, and that was a key turning point in order to be able to build a nation rather than just individuals. So Yaakov is very relieved that mitaso shalem, that all of his children believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that's why he says, Baruch Hashem Kevod Malchuso L'Olam Vod. Fascinating. So coming back, that's why we say Baruch Shem. It's that story is part of the background for saying Baruch Shem in response to Shema Yisrael. And it's more than just Yaakov was relieved. It's taking the abstract Shema Yisrael and responding, the belief, and responding in terms of practice. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is Echad, and therefore I am committed to be Marbe Kavod Shemayim. Baruch Shem Kamal Chusol L'Olam Vod. We're going to act on this. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, maybe we're not just saying Baruch Shem Kamal Chusol L'Olam Vod after the Shel Rosh, because, well, according to Rashi, I just said Baruch HaLatala. Maybe it's more positive. This is a planned Baruch Shem Kamal Chusol L'Olam Vod. Maybe it's highlighting the Shema Yisrael aspect of my tefillin. And he goes on to say, let's take it back. Let's take it back. He says, that's what the whole bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin is about. He says, maybe it's particularly with the Shel Rosh. Let's work our way back here. Nira Li, in Sif Yud. L'haniach Birkas HaMitzvah. Say, you know, the L'haniach Tefillin, that's a plain Birkas HaMitzvah. He says, Al Mitzvah's Tefillin is really a Birkas Hodah. He says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It sounds like a Birkas HaMitzvah, but it's really a Birkas Hodah. She says, Zikanu Hashem Lasos Oz Beino Uveinenu. It's the gift, the privilege, the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have through Tefillin. It's the gift of the chance to have that sort of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to explain that's particularly powerful with the Shel Rosh. And that's why, in Sifri Gimel, Birkas Al Mitzvah's Tefillin, he returns to it, is a Birkas Hodah, Kamo Shekhasav to Mikodim. B'yos Mitzvah Zu HaKesher HaGadol, Shemekesher Yis Yisrael Avim Shabbat Shemayim. This is the great knot that connects the Jewish people to our Father in Heaven. L'zeh Anu Mevarachim Birkas Hodah, L'hodos Hashem Yisbarach HaTov HaZeh. It's a Birkas Hodah. It's a Birkas Hodah. It's part of the larger. And he goes on to say, Zeu Perusho, Al Mitzvah Tefillin Kolomar Al Ma. It's about the concept of the Mitzvah Tefillin. Amash Hashem Yisbarach Hischaber Eleinu Anu Nosim Lo Yisbarach Shavuot Hodalzat. It's gratefulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us this reality. Lehaniach Tefillin is a mitzvah, is a bracha on the act of Hanachas Tefillin. The Al Mitzvah Tefillin is sort of on the impact. It's on the impact of Tefillin. And let me share with you one other example, and then I want to hear your question, Yoni. There is another mitzvah that calls for two Birchas HaMitzvah more or less back to back. What's the other one? It happens periodically. It's associated with a big simcha. Zechariah. Bris Mila, exactly. Right? Our practice is the Mohel says Asher Kedishanu Sposav Tzivanu Al Hamila, and then immediately afterwards the father says also an Asher Kedishanu. Asher Kedishanu Sposav Tzivanu LaHachnisa BeRvisur Shel Avraham Avinu. Two Birkas HaMitzvah back to back. Later on, after the bris is done and the baby is bandaged and more comfortable, there's a third bracha. We say Bar Pi Agafen, and then Asher Kiddushi did me beta. So the Asher Kiddush is clearly some sort of Birkas Hoda. Right? But you have two brachas that are Birk of the Asher Kiddushan Sof Tzivanus back to back. Al Hamila and LaHachniso BeRvisur Shel Avraham Avinu. So Poskim and Hilchas Mila and Yoredei have a significant discussion. What's the story there with the two brachas? So some say it has to do with the two stages. Physically, the two stages to the mitzvah of Mila, technically, logistically, Mila and Priya. But the Beis Yosef goes on in Hilchas Mila and Yoredei to quote the Abudraham. Abudraham is one of the Rishonim who wrote in the Siddur. And he makes the following suggestion. For many years, I found this to be a very fascinating suggestion. He says, look, there are two layers to the mitzvah of Mila, conceptually speaking. The mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah. A mitzvah to remove the arla. And that's what the mohel says, the bracha, ala Mila. He's doing a maisa mitzvah of Mila. The Mila is also, though, the Abudraham says, in addition to being a specific mitzvah is happening right now, Mila is also the beginning of something larger. Mila is the first, those who have learned the end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin, Mishnah here talk about the mitzvahs of Av al-Abein, the mitzvahs of Abein al-Av. There are mitzvahs that the son has to take care of his father, Kibud Avim, and mitzvahs the father has to provide for his son in various ways. In other words, the mitzvahs of Chinuch. Mila, sometimes Pidyon HaBen, teaching him Torah, and teaching him to earn a living, teaching him to swim, perhaps, and a series of various mitzvahs, helping him get married, you know, setting your child up for life. Chinuch, in the fullest sense. So the Abudraham says that first bracha ala Mila is on the mitzvah of Mila just as a mitzvah in and of itself in a vacuum. And you'll notice that bracha is said by the Mohel, because he's the one, as we discussed the other week, right? He's the Oses HaMaisa, he's doing the Maisa Mila. So even though the father has the Kiyum of Mila, but the Mohel's one who's doing the Maisa, he makes a bracha Al HaMila, because that's a bracha on the technical mitzvah of Mila. The second bracha, which the father says, L'Hachniso B'Vrisa Shal Avram, to bring him into the Bris of Avram, that's much richer than just Al HaMila. Al Hamila is on the mitzvah of Mila per se. L'hachnisu b'ris Hashem Avinu, to bring him into the bris, that's, in other words, to raise a child. All the mitzvahs that the father has to his son, raising him from an infant into a functioning, capable adult Eved Hashem. All those years and years and years of chinuch begin right now with the mitzvah of Mila. The Abudraham says Al Hamila is the bracha on the Mila per se. The bracha of Lachniso is on the larger mitzvah of being machanach one's child, which begins with the Mila. But that bracha Lachniso covers the Mila and the Pidyon HaBen, if applicable, and teaching him Torah and train him to be a productive person, v'chulu, setting him up for life. All those years of raising a child. So it's the two layers to the mitzvah of Mila. It's a mitzvah per se, and it's part of a larger mitzvah. So there's something similar going on here. It's a mitzvah per se. There's a mitzvah of tefillin. But tefillin also is something more than just a technical maisa Mila. If you look at the Rambam, the very end of Hilchos Tefillin, beautiful language. Kedushas Tefillin, Kedushas and Gedoli. So the Kedusha Tefillin is so powerful. Perek Dala Chafei, the second to last, the penultimate halacha in Hilchos Tefillin. Kalzman Shet Tefillin, Berosh HaShaldim Al Zeroo. When Tefillin is on your head and your arm, you notice he puts the head first, as though that's primary. Hu Anavi Rei Shamayim. Ve'enu Nimshach B'schok V'sichi B'teila. He's going to be a Tefillin will lead a person to be more humble, or more God-aware. You're not going to get involved, hopefully, in nonsense. The Ein Maharba Machshavas Ros, the Mafana Liba B'Divrei Emes V'Tzedek. Tefillin helped to refocus your thoughts away from evil towards good and right and true. And that's why he goes on to say, in earlier generations, you know, it was recommended, certainly tzaddikim would wear tefillin all day, and he goes on to say, but at the very least, based on the Gemara and Brachos, daf yadalet, at the very least to wear them, b'shas tefillah, b'shas kriyashma. And the Rav spent time talking about this Rambam, the transformative power of tefillin. Tefillin are a mitzvah, a ma'aseh mitzvah, put on tefillin. But also, it can make me into a different person. It can make me into a different person. There's a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim aspect to tefillin. So going back to the Aruch HaShulchan, again, Aruch HaShulchan said maybe the second bracha, it's not Birkat HaMitzvah at all. I mean, it's like a Birkat Shavach V'Hoda. Okay. Or maybe we can tweak that a little bit in line with what Abu Draham writes about Milah. Maybe they're both Birkat HaMitzvah, but two different layers of the mitzvah. Just as with Milah, Abu Draham had said, the first mitzvah, Al HaMilah, just on the act of Ma'aseh Milah. And the second one is sort of where Milah takes you, what's the larger context that it's a part of. It's part of the overall mitzvah that the father has towards the son. See, here too, the Lahaniach Tefillin is technical. Right? I have a mitzvah of Hanachas, the act of Hanachas Tefillin. Al Mitzvah Tefillin, for Rabbeinu Tam, is the added layer of how the Tefillin, and particularly the Tefillin Shal Rosh, transform me. They can, with proper focus, make me into a different, more elevated person. So there are two different brachas. One is on the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, like any other. But tefillin is different than other mitzvahs, particularly Sharosh, because it has a trend, it changes who I am. Literally, I'm crowned with the tefillin. And that can be not just a physical reality, but a spiritual reality as well. So along the lines of the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rav suggested that's why there are two brachas, according to Tam, on the Shal Rosh. We understand it well. Why isn't, as Maral asked, quoted by the Bach, why does this mitzvah have two brachas? Normally mitzvahs only have one bracha. Well, the answer is, this is not a mitzvah like other mitzvahs. This is a mitzvah like Milah. It has a transformative impact. It's more than just doing a ma'aseh mitzvah. So, and the Shal Rosh in particular, perhaps, the Rav and other Rias as well, that the Shal Rosh, even the Aruch HaShulchan talks about also, so Shal Rosh even more than Shal Yad, that really has a transformative impact on me. Gemara and Daf Lamed Hey seems to indicate, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan quoted, V'ra'u kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lechav yaru mimekka, elu tefillin shel Rosh. When the Pasuk talks about people will see that Hashem's name is upon you, and specifically about the Sharosh is the one that's more visible, and that's the one that's more transformative. I am literally, and hopefully figuratively, crowned by Shem Hashem. So that's why there are two brachas. And again, that's why even if you only put on the Sharosh alone, then Tom says you got to make two brachas. Al Laniach Tefillin on the Maisa Mitzvah of Tefillin, and Al Mitzvah Tefillin on the sort of the larger impact that tefillin can have. And that's why always, as we said, always the Shal Rosh really requires two brachas. Just normally, if you get to put on both Shayat and Shal Rosh, and you weren't mafsik, so you made the Lahaniach tefillin that covers both. The Ma'aseh Mitzvah of tefillin, and Ma'aseh Mitzvah Shayat, Ma'aseh Mitzvah Shal Rosh, can both fall under the rubric of Lahaniach tefillin. But the Shal Rosh also calls for the second bracha that speaks to the added dimension of this mitzvah, more than just a ma'aseh mitzvah, but the transformative impact, and that's the Al Mitzvahs Tefillin. Yeah, questions? Question. Yeah, great question. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav are giving similar answers, maybe a shade of difference. Right? Both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav see the Al Mitzvahs Tefillin, sort of speaking to the larger elements of Tefillin beyond the formal Ma'aseh Mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan saw it as like a Birkat Shavach V'Hoda, and there are, I don't want to get too far beyond the scope of the shiur. If you look down the Maamar Makomos, additional optional Maamar Makomos, there are other examples of what the Aruch HaShulchan describes, where you have a bracha that starts Asher Kiddushanu Misosavet Zivanu, and yet it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. Some understand that that's the case with Birkas HaTorah. Machlokas, where the Birkas HaTorah, Asher Kiddushanu Misosavet Zivanu, Lastik B'Divrei Torah, is that a Birkas HaMitzvah or not? There's a machlokas about the bracha under the chuppah, the Birkas Eirusin. that the Masar Kiddushin recites before the act of Kiddushin, before the Har, given the ring, the Harayat, Asher Kishon Savotsov Tzivanu Al Harayas, Rasalan Sarusos, and so on and so forth. It starts Asher Kishon Savotsov Tzivanu, but there's a machlokas Rambam and Rosh, whether that's a Birkas HaMitzvah or a Birkas Sharif HaHodah. The Rosh also thinks that the Bracha Al Hashchita is some sort of Birkas HaHodah. So there are other Brachos that might, you know, look like and sound like a Birkas HaMitzvah, that are actually Birkas Sharif HaHodah. So that was the Aruch HaShulchan's take. And the Rav, I believe, was saying along those lines, but not so much that's not a Birkas HaMitzvah at all, but that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah on the impact. And that, I don't know that the Rav gave that example, but I would suggest that it's similar to the Abu Draham that the Beis Yosef quotes in Hilchos Mila. That the Lahachnisa B'Rishos Shal Avraham Avinu, according to Abu Draham, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah on the sort of the larger picture of which Mila is a part. So sort of analogous to what might be going on here. So again, so the there are two sort of shades, two variations on the same theme. Either to say that the second bracha is a Birkas HaHodah or it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, but either way, it's a more than just the Maisa Mitzvah. Well, either way, you're right. Either way, whether you say like the Aruch HaShulchan or the Rav, either way, the Rabbeinu Tam only mandates the second bracha, which is on the bigger picture of Tefillin, on, say, Nishal Rosh, on putting on Nishal Rosh. Right? If you just put on Shal Yad and you're not putting on Shal Rosh at all, say someone has some sort of bandage on his head, or his Shal Yad Rosh was Nifsal and there's no one around to borrow from, if for whatever reason you're only putting on Shal Yad, Rabbeinu Tam agrees that you only make a L'Haniach Tefillin. This bracha al mitzvah is only on the Shal Rosh. That's what Aruch HaShulchan Rei starts working on. He says, look, the Gemara Menachos, the Flamin Hem Beis, does talk about sort of the larger impact of Tefillin is specific to the Shal Rosh. So the transform, and that's at the, I believe the Rav also pointed out, we look at the Rambam, that Rambam that we just looked at, Perek Dal Lacha Chav Hey, he talks about what the Rav referred to as a Gavra Me'uter B'Tfilin, a Jew who's crowned by his Tfilin, who's transformed. And we don't think of like you're holding a lulav, now you're a different person. I mean, every mitzvah impacts you. But Rambam seems to talk about Tfilin in particular, sort of like you become a different person. Rambam also highlights the Shal Rosh before the Shal Yad. So there are several indications that the sort of the larger impact of Tefillin is particularly true with the Shal Rosh. And that's why this bracha, again, whether you look at it as a Birkas Sharif HaHodah on our close relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you look at it as Birkas HaMitzvah, but a Birkas HaMitzvah on the impact of Tefillin, rather than just on the act of Tefillin, either way, that larger picture is associated primarily with Shal Rosh. And that's why the bracha al mitzvah Tefillin, according to Me'atam, even according to Me'atam, you only say on the Shal Rosh. Adir and Yonatan. Or maybe Yonatan. Yeah, that's a good question. The Rambam actually spends time developing the idea. He said it in the Mishnah Torah, and he talks about some length in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Tefillin Sheyad, Tefillin Sharosh are two separate mitzvos. He counts them as two separate mitzvos in the count of Tariq mitzvos. You can see it right here at the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillin. He starts every section by listing the mitzvahs that this topic comprises. See here, Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah includes five mitzvahs. Number one is Lios Tefillin Al HaRosh, and number two is Lakashram Al HaYad. He counts them as two separate mitzvahs. The other three mitzvahs are Mezuzah, Ksiva Sefer Torah, and the special Ksiva Sefer Torah of the King. The Rambam clearly counts as two separate mitzvahs, and he goes on to say that in the Yad as well. We saw that later on. Yes, so the Rambam does, and again, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he spends time on that. That they're two separate mitzvahs, Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, and that's indicated, the Rambam says, by the fact that they're not ma'akvin zeh zeh. You can be yotzei one without the other. Here he says explicitly here, Perek Dala Chadal, Tefillah Shal Rosh, Einim Akeves Shal Yad, Shal Yad Mekeves Shal Rosh. Kev on without the other. Why? B'nei Shein Shtei Mitzvahs. Zuli Atma, Zuli Atma. There are two separate mitzvahs. If you're going to do both, if you're going to do both, so then you want to put on the Shayar before the Sharosh, but they're two independent mitzvahs. And still the Rambam says, you still only make one bracha. Because they're two mitzvahs, but two mitzvahs that could both fit, like Hafrashas Truma and Hafrashas Challah. They're two similar, separate but similar mitzvahs that could fit under the same Nusach HaBracha, so one bracha covers both. A dear Strauchler. How do you mean? Yeah, that's a good question. Right, how is that Birkas Hodah? We're used to Birkas Hodah being something like Osa Masa Bereshis, Shekochu Grosna Moli Olam, the Bracha on the Rainbow, or Sha'asa Li Neis B'Makom Hazeh. Usually, the language of Asher Kiddishom Sosa V'Tzivanu is the greatest tip-off that what we're dealing with is a Birkas HaMitzvah. So you're asking, Asher Kishon Sotzev Tzivanu, Al Mitzvah Tzulin, how could you call that a Birkas Shavach Vodah? That is a great question. And that's why it's important to realize, we were talking about it a couple of minutes ago, it's a very, very sharp question. And that's why it's important to recognize that there are other cases also. There are, it's true that usually Asher Kishon Sotzev Tzivanu it indicates a Birkas HaMitzvah, but there are a handful of other brachas that have that language. Asher Kishon Sotzev Tzivanu. Yet some Rishonim will say, but it's a Birkas Shavach Vodah. Again, as he mentioned, Reb Chaim suggests that the Birkas HaTorah is a machlokas that Rishonim. If you look at the language of the Ramban, he points out in Sefer HaMitzvahs, talk about Birkas HaTorah, it does not sound like he's understanding it to be a Birkas HaMitzvah. It sounds like a Birkas Shavach Vodah. Birkas Erisin, according to the Rush, is a Birkas Shavach Vodah, even though it begins as Sher Kiddushon Sotzev Tzivanu. And Birkas Shechita, the Rush says, there's no mitzvah to shecht. If you want to eat meat, someone has to shecht. But Shechita is not per se a mitzvah, and yet we say Asher Kiddushon Sotzev Tzivanu Al Shechita, the Rush says that. It sounds like the Rush is saying that's really a Birkas Shavach Vodah. Now, two points though. Or maybe three. The first point we already made. There are other examples of this phenomenon. Asher Kiddushon Sotzev Tzivanu, and yet it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. The second point is the reason why it's true, the reason why it's sensible, is you can remember, think what the language means. Asher Kiddushon Sotzev Tzivanu doesn't just mean this is a Birkas HaMitzvah. Right? I mean, we associate with Birkas HaMitzvah because that's how it's, every Birkas HaMitzvah has it. But the language means we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu who endows us with Kedusha through his mitzvahs, who gave us the incredible privilege and opportunity of transforming ourselves through adhering to the discipline of mitzvahs, Kiddushanu mitzvotzav in general, and specifically Vitzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do X, Y, and Z. So that formula is always appropriate in a Birkas HaMitzvah, but it could be appropriate in other contexts too. So let's say under the chuppah, you thank, according to Rush, that Rush doesn't see marriage as in and of itself a mitzvah. It's highly recommended, and it enables you to perform other mitzvahs. But the Rush holds that getting married itself is a hechsher mitzvah, but not a mitzvah. But yet, we say bracha, the Rush says, and that we're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity to upraise our lives and to transform our lives into vehicles for happy holiness through the institution of Jewish marriage. So it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, because the Rosh doesn't think you're actually doing a mitzvah at this moment, but Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav is very accurate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows with the Kedusha through his mitzvah, through the system of halacha, for example, right here, or Birkas HaTorah. Right? Even if you think that the Birkas HaTorah, as Ramban seems to say, is not a Birkas HaMitzvah, but Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have the opportunity to encounter him every time we open a sefer. So Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav is very appropriate language. Or Shechita. that Kadosh Baruch gives a chance to transform the act of eating, which we share with their entire animal kingdom, and to make into more than merely biological necessity, but to make into a vehicle for Kedusha. So that's as exemplifying the fact that we shecht before we eat. So Kedushanu mitzvosa. See here too, example number four. So tefillin, that we're thanking Kadosh Baruch for the opportunity we have to rub shoulders with him, so to speak, as through and as communicated by the mitzvah tefillin. So this is not the only case where Asher Kishon Tzivanu is used for Birkas Shavach, and the language fits. But at the same time, I also say point number three is, you're right, maybe that's why it's more attractive to say like the Rav, that along the lines of the Abu Draham by Mila, it is a Birkas HaMitzvah. But it's a Birkas HaMitzvah on the other aspect. This is a mitzvah with two dimensions to it, so that's why it has two brachas. One bracha for just the Maisa mitzvah per se, and the other bracha for the impact that the mitzvah of tefillin is supposed to have, the kedusha that it carries with it, that the Rambam had described so poetically, Perek Dal Halacha Chaf Hei. Good. That's good. 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 Yonta is making one larger point, which is really beyond our scope right now, but it's a very, very sharp point. Often Birkas HaMitzvah have a lamed, and sometimes they're al mitzvahs. As you say, l'shmoa kol shofar, l'kroa sahalal. But then you say al mikr megillah, al biur chametz. That's a sugim psachim dav zayin. When you say it with a lamed, you say al. And Yonta's point that here now is it al, which is less active, but it's al mitzvahs. It's not even al hanachas tefillin. It's all mitzvahs tefillin. So that really sounds like we're talking about the concept. And I believe actually that you're being mechaving the Aruch HaShulchan. I believe the Aruch HaShulchan makes that point as well. The language all mitzvahs sounds like we're talking about the inyan of tefillin, the concept of tefillin, as opposed to the action. Less, it's very far from the verb. Less action-oriented, more about the larger idea. Yeah. Yes, it's a very good point. Okay, yeshakach.